Some Sunday morning, brethren and sisters, in the not very distant future, so we believe, the saints will gather together in their meeting rooms as we have done this morning to remember the Lord. As we have been doing as a community for well over 100 years, nay, as the faithful have been doing for nearly 2,000 years. That Sunday morning will be very much like others that you and I have known, but it will have one vital difference. For those who meet together in that way, it will be for them the last time. It will be the last breaking of bread. It will happen then, no doubt, as it will happen in many a meeting up and down the country this morning, that some will stay away from the meeting without a good reason. But those who do come will sing their hymns, they will do the readings, they will listen to the recording, brother, making announcements of meetings which God alone knows will never be held. They will draw nigh to the throne of grace in prayer, and then they will listen to the last exhortation. And with their minds well prepared, they will turn to the feast. And it may be that some words they sang a little earlier on in the meeting will come back to them with a renewed meaning. His body broken, as he said, we see in this memorial bread, and so our feeble love is fed until he comes. His fearful drops of agony, his lifeblood shed for us, we see. The wine shall tell the mystery until he come. And thus that dark betrayal night, with his blessed advent we unite, the shame, the glory by this rite, until he come. And then in the quietness and the peace of the meeting, as the emblems pass from hand to hand, there will be then, as no doubt there will be this morning, those heart searchings, those deep repentances, those strong resolutions. They'll know it not, but for them it will be the last time. And then in the evening of the same day, the saints will gather together to proclaim the word of life to a perishing world. And it will happen, no doubt, then, as it will happen tonight in many a meeting up and down the country, that still more will stay away because they're too tired, because their interest in the things of the truth is so feeble, because if they're honest, they want to watch a television play. I always feel, brethren and sisters, that the Lord may have some very awkward questions to ask us why we did not attend the meeting as we should. And so we shall come to the end of the day and retire to rest, not realizing that this was the very last Sunday that would ever be so spent in the service of the Lord. Of course, if we'd only known, brethren and sisters, that this was to be the last breaking of bread, the meeting would have been crowded to the door, but we didn't know. And then sometime in the week that follows, to the sister busy in her home or at the office, to the brother at his daily work, the call will come to meet the Lord. Or it may be in the evening when the work of day is done and you've time to sit in the twilight and watch the setting sun. The Master is come and he calleth for thee. What will that mean, brethren and sisters, for us? We may differ about some of the details, we probably shall. But we're all agreed that we shall then be called into the presence of the Lord. At midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." They were all waiting with those virgins, every one of them. But the foolish virgin suddenly realized that although they were waiting for the bridegroom, they were not ready for him. Of course, they weren't ready beforehand, but then they didn't know that. And it does mean this for us, that waiting for the Lord and being ready for him are not necessarily the same thing. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. If the bridegroom came tonight, as well he could, would we be ready to meet him? We may differ, we probably shall, about some of the details. But we all know from the word of God that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, be made manifest in his presence. As someone has suggested, we shall be turned inside out when we stand before him. What a revelation that will be. To make my meaning clear, let me use an illustration which I've used here before, so I do hope you'll bear with me. Have you ever seen turned out onto the table the contents of a little boy's pockets? You know what you get? A motley collection? A bit of string? A nail or two? A piece of chewing gum? A pencil? A knife? Perhaps a bit of plasticine? Rubbish to us, treasures to him. As you soon find as parents, if you try to get rid of any of the things that he is hoarding. Well now, brethren and sisters, you and I are only grown-up children. And it may be that when we stand in the presence of our Master and face his searching gaze, that we shall suddenly realize then for the first time that many of the things that in this life we have treasured, upon which we have set our hearts and have striven for, are really in his sight worthless things. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. It is very easy, fatally easy, to assume that we shall all be in the kingdom of God. But it's well to remember that on the basis of this parable, that there will be some who will be cast as goats. And if I read this parable aright, the goats were surprised that they were called goats. And if we ask why they were put into that category, well, the answer is given to us in the 42nd verse. I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. It may be, brethren and sisters, that when we stand in the presence of our Master, there will come flooding into the mind the things we've done that we ought not to have done, and the things that we could have done and we didn't. We may think of the meanness and the petty act of selfishness, and our outburst of temper, and the awkward moods that we manifested, the days when we sulked and we made everybody in the house miserable, the word of cheer that we could have spoken, the sympathy that we could have extended, the friendliness that we could have shown to some lonely soul, and we failed. It may be, brethren and sisters, that we shall remember the promises that we made and we never kept. You know what we do, brethren and sisters? I'm afraid we're all guilty here. We say to some lonely soul in the meeting, "Look here, you must come and have a cup of tea with us." And that cup of tea never gets poured out. And the lonely soul is still lonelier. I think we ought to exercise a lot of care over these promises that we make and these invitations that we give, because they're made so glibly, they're broken so easily, but they can leave behind them a trail of sadness. If we ever feel moved to perform an act of kindness, let us do it now, while we've got the opportunity. As someone very forcibly expressed it, I shall pass through this world but once. If there is any good, therefore, that I can do, let me do it now. Let me not defer it nor neglect it. For I shall not pass this way again. Inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these my brethren, ye did it not to me. As we reflect on these things and kindred matters, brethren and sisters, in the quietness of the meeting, one thing is very evident. Life in the truth now is a checkered affair. Sometimes we walk very close to the Lord, and we feel that nothing can come between us and Him. But sometimes, and all too often, we are sad to say, we're dull of spirit, and life seems very drab. Our feet are heavy. We lag behind. Worse still, we wander away from Him. That is my experience, and I'm sure it is yours. We have all failed, without exception, every one of us. And the Lord knows that. He knows it better than we know it ourselves. But he knows something else. He knows how we've tried. He knows the difficulties with which we have to contend. He knows the disappointments that we've had to face in life. He knows the discouragements that have come our way. He knows how frail we are. He knows all about it, brethren and sisters. And despite it all, he still loves us. Because the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. The Lord is very merciful. What will it mean for us, brethren and sisters, if in the mercy of the Lord we are accepted of him and are given an abiding place in the kingdom of God? What will it mean? It is difficult for us with our finite minds to realize, but listen to what the Word says. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous, who shall change our vile body and fashion it anew like unto his glorious body. And then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame man will leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. O blessed hope, with this elate, let not your hearts be desolate, but strong in faith, in patience wait until he comes.